like to call the meeting to order. Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Hagenbusch, can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mrs. Stats?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Weddle?
Present.
Okay, and Mr. Birch is under the weather and not here. We're going to move into item two, public participation. We don't have anybody signed up. Is there anybody willing to speak? I'm seeing none. Okay, we're going to move into the agenda. Is there any additions or corrections to the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing none. Can you please call the roll for approval?
We need a motion.
Oh, I need a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
No.
Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weddle?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0. All right, we're going to move on to item 4, board business. Policy?
Oh, policy. That would be me. So on policy, we learned that there is new policy that came in. I tried logging on. I cannot get into the system to review it. We're in the process, though, of scheduling the meetings so that we can review the new policy. It is my understanding that Nurse Tina wants us to take a look at policy regarding anaphylaxis, and then we also have the high school mental health consultant Alyssa Fischel requesting that we utilize another suicide assessment form, and those are probably things that we'll be discussing then when we schedule this policy meeting here, hopefully sometime this week.
Okay, thank you. Community engagement?
We did meet. We are in the process of kind of discussing what direction we want community engagement to go. And so I think it's an ongoing discussion of things that we, you know, whether we want this as just a board related committee or more community wide. I think that's something that we need to explore a little bit further and then bring it back to the board for more discussion, or if anyone has any of their own ideas and opinions on it, please share them.
Well, we also talked a little bit about the exact title that we want, even if we leave it as community engagement, but we've thrown some other ideas around, and I know we also discussed just the general goals, mission, focus. Just really kind of attacking what it is we want to do with that. And I did reach out to the impact group.
Oh, yeah.
And Tom is putting something together. We had a discussion on how hard everyone in the district is working to get information out, you know, whether it's through a combination with Facebook and Twitter and district messaging. But we think because so many people have to do it, that sometimes it's not a unified message. And so one of the things that we considered, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, was just utilizing an outside resource just to, number one, unify the message, but also take some work off the plate of the people who work here. And so Tom is the owner of the Impact Group, and I had a good discussion with him, and he's going to return something to me, I would say probably within the next week, and we'll take a look and see if that's a direction we want to go.
Does that include like web communications and?
Yeah, it would be tiered. I mean, I think last time they gave us 4 different levels. You know, obviously the top level is they do every single thing for the district, and you just give them the information. It's a text message, hey, put this out, boom, and it's done. And then there are other things where maybe the lowest level is they just write, let's say you're in a crisis, they write a statement for you that goes out to your community. And I think when we're in that right now, the two of us probably get together on this more than anything, wouldn't you say? We're the ones that collaborate on that. So they just take care of those things for you, and they're pros. This is what they do for a living. But, you know, they do levy campaigns, they do websites, they do general communications, Facebook posts, and there are different levels. So he will get back to me and say, this is where we are. He is, you know, Tom wants clients, but he has wanted Norton for a while, because I think that they worked hard to get us with them, and we decided to just keep going on the same path that we were going. And so he's excited to make another proposal.
So it's just an option. We'll see
what
it comes out as, and if that's something that we are interested in doing.
Okay. Anything else? Any other ideas? Have we figured out the alumni?
Well, we did talk about that, getting more alumni involvement.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
With Laura Jo Hawk. She and I attended Hogan together, and she's the, I don't remember her title, but her job at Hogan is to keep the alumni involved, do the fundraising, and just to get some ideas from her. I know that's a private school versus public, but just they send out consistent messages, and they send out newsletters to alumni, to current students.
Is that
so,
this Monday or next Friday?
Next Friday.
Okay.
I think it's next Friday. So,
okay.
Just to get ideas. I mean, do we want to improve our communications? Do we include the alumni? If so, how?
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's just kind of brainstorming some different ideas to see what they do and see what maybe we can adopt.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay, technology and instruction.
I have a few things. Friday we had our professional development day, and with the middle school and high school, I worked with them on what's called the SAMR model. It is a technique for teachers to kind of evaluate when is a good time to be using technology and when is not really a bad time, but it doesn't really make sense to use technology. It's just substitution, where instead of writing paper and pencil, kids are just typing on a computer. So trying to avoid that kind of usage and really using it for a meaningful purpose where it's enhancing the teaching and learning that's going on in the classroom. So worked with both of those two groups. I will be working with NES next week, and primary, they're a little bit different because they're just getting kids to log on to computers and trying to get those fine motor skills and those sorts of things. So it really doesn't, there's really not as much of a need at that grade level for that training. Maintenance has installed 11 of the 20 Clever Touches that were ordered. So Rick and Sean have been awesome to work with. They've been going in and even adjusting some of these panels and so the smart boards that are being mounted. They've been great to work with. Tonight you will see on the board agenda the ISP contract, that's internet service contract. Neonet, that's part of our E-rate process. We get 50% off funding if that everything's approved through that process. It's all based off of free and reduced lunch for the district. So that contract is half of what it actually says it is, as long as that funding goes through. And lastly, I just wanted to mention again, you probably saw this in the weekly central office notes, but because of cybersecurity, and I may have mentioned this before as well, because of all the cybersecurity issues, we're, you know, layering more and more things that we're trying to do to prevent, you know, downloading viruses and just anything security wise that we can kind of better manage. And one of those is two-step verification. You may have this for your bank, so anytime you try to log onto a computer new Your bank sends you a text to verify that you are who you say you are. It knows, or it can send you a push notification. There's different ways for it to verify who you are. We are working on rolling that out for our staff. They have a couple of different methods of doing that, but it does involve the use of a cell phone. You cannot use a landline, but it can receive a call instead of a text if people are uncomfortable with having their phone used for those notifications for work purposes. So we are looking at, we have 16 staff members in the district already using it. It only really comes into effect, like I said, if you log onto a new computer or if you clear your cache or cookies, if you're familiar with that process. If you do that, then it might ask you to verify who you are, but it's not something that every single time you log into your email that it's going to ask you to verify. We are looking to have that completed May 1st. Right now we're asking for volunteers. And so I have some of the tech advisory committee members are participating in that, some administrators, we have some teachers that are using it as well. And I'd like to send an email to the board so that you can get a feel for what that is. John Steiner has typed up some directions that are very easy to follow. It really only takes a few minutes to do. And so we'll just keep proceeding with some volunteers. And then, like I said, May 1st is what we're hoping to have as the deadline for the district. Part of this also comes from our cybersecurity insurance. It's one of the main questions that they ask. Are you using two-factor authentication on your email? So other districts in the area are doing this as well. And that's it. That's all I have for today.
Just a quick update with Professional Development Day. We had it this past Friday. In the morning, we had a session for all staff with an EL consultant, English learners consultant from the Summit County ESD. She talked about several topics, acculturation for students, what the difference is between assimilation and integration, acquisition of a second language, where we would expect a novice, the beginning, an intermediate student to be, what that might look like in the classroom, where to find resources for support, support of universal learning for all students across the curriculum, access to content and grading, and then at what point do you consider a student to have a disability that might be an English learner rather than a language barrier? So kind of some things like that talked about briefly. Then we went into high quality student data, so teachers were able to meet as their grade level teams or departments to kind of finalize those lists. We've been going over high quality student data. We started it in October. We spent some time on it in November. Essentially, it's going to be a piece of the teacher's evaluation beginning next school year, 22-23 school year. So teachers had a chance to look at what instruments they were going to use when they're meeting with their evaluators, their principals, to discuss those things. In addition, special education staff met with Mr. Oswald for updates regarding policy procedure and special education laws. And in the afternoon then, Angie and I kind of switched off. So she would give her presentation, and then I would come in and do the test security presentation that we have to do annually. And then opposite of both of us, the school psychologists were in there talking to staff members as well, informing them of different intervention strategies they could potentially use in their classrooms, offering insight on the levels of support those school psychologists can do. They're not just there to evaluate and test kids. They can support teachers and students in other fashions. And then following up on some of those updates that Mr. Oswald gave in the morning, so procedures, policies, and laws. We are about to get into full-blown testing season, so that is gonna open up next week. March 23rd and 24th, we will begin our ELA test window at the elementary building, so they will be taking the English Language Arts Assessment. Following then would be March 25th for 5th and 8th grade, and then grades 6 and 7 on March 28th. And then also on March 28th, Thorpe High School is proctoring the ELA 2 test. So Angie and I will be bouncing all over the place, making sure everything is going according to plan. All of the rest of the tests will be administered then after spring break, because we have to align with the state testing window. So once the state says you may open the window to offer or to proctor a particular test, we'll do that. Right now, though, our English learners are taking the OLPA, which closes March 25th. So I've worked with some of the students, and then Carrie Weibel, our EL tutor, is finishing up with some of the students. And then also at the same time, our most severely disabled learners are taking the alternate assessment for those state tests, and that window closes next month on April 15th. And then the last thing was just an update on that math adoption. So we are going to meet with vendors beginning next week. So on Monday the 21st, we will be meeting with representatives from Savvis Envision Math. We're going to meet in here on the 21st. We're going to start with the middle school at 2:45, and then our elementary teachers are going to come down afterwards. And then there will be a separate presentation then on the 23rd for the high school. So we've broken it into grade levels. And then the following week, on Monday and Tuesday, the 28th and 29th, we're going to be hearing from Cengage with their product, Big Ideas. And both of the products are basically a K-12, which will be nice for us because we've not had a K-12 program. It's kind of always been a variety of different things. So I sent out an invitation to all teaching staff. Anybody that wants to come is more than welcome to come. They have a chance to RSVP so I can let the vendors know how many teachers they're expecting. The presentations will be here for middle and elementary, and then because the smaller group of teachers, there's only like six math teachers at the high school, so we're going to move the presentation up there in the lab for the six of them so that they can sit down in front of the computers and whatnot. And then we'll have probably another virtual meeting with our ESC consultant to kind of hash out who liked what, get some various thoughts, and then some of the teachers had said they would prefer to like take a lesson or part of a chapter and kind of pilot it and teach it from both of the books just to kind of see what they get a better feel for. I said, I'm all for that. So we'll have a decision, I would hope, by the end of April, early May, and Stephanie and I can start asking for quotes and get it rolling. You know, I'm just more concerned not so much about the digital component, but the actual textbook, workbooks, things like that coming in on time because of, you know, the ongoing pandemic. Yes. And the debacle of shipping and trucking and all of that stuff. So.
Do you have a final date, like this will be wrapped up by this time?
No, okay. We're going to, once we get through the adoption presentations, then I'm going to talk to the teachers and say, listen, you know, you have X amount of time because the high school wants an early decision, but the middle school wants to take each of those chapters or a unit and try to teach from both of those textbooks. So. Elementary hasn't really voiced too much yet, so we'll hopefully get all of that squared away during those presentations. But I asked Stephanie, I said, you know, what is the latest I think we could possibly do this and still get those orders in? I mean, obviously we tend to order after July 1st fiscal year. So we'll see. It has to happen and has to happen quickly, but we also have other things we have to do too, so.
That's awfully late.
It is on first.
Mm-hmm. I'm really thinking.
Well, the POs, but it's not really coming out of next year's money, so you can order it anytime. Usually we date them.
Sooner you can.
Yeah, the digital components, they'll get, like, it's a flip of a switch.
Well, yeah, that's,
they'll get those turned on right away. Once they get the POs, they usually put the digital stuff right through. It would be getting the actual, if there's a textbook, like, we'll get physical textbooks along with the online component, which won't be such an issue in 4th through 12th grade because next year will be 1-to-1. So they'll have the access. They'll have the textbook online if they don't physically have it. My concern would be for our elementary kids because they're not going to have like a hardbound textbook. I think both programs offer like a workbook, much like what they have now with Everyday Math. It's a workbook and the printing of that. Now those pages could be printed and downloaded and, you know, ran copies of, but, you know, that's a concern. So that's all we have.
Thank you both.
Operations, Patrick's not here, so.
But we have a meeting.
Yep. Yeah. And you want me to talk?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, we have a meeting next week on the 24th.
I want to say the 24th. Yeah.
Yeah, 24th. There's several agenda items or things that we need to talk about. Regarding buildings and maintenance and upkeep. So hopefully...
23rd, actually.
Sorry, the 23rd. So hopefully we can make some progress there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we've said, the operations group internally, as far as our staff that deals with operations, board members, administration, it's always been a lot of work. But... they've done a great job, so hopefully we can have that meeting and nobody's sick and get some things accomplished.
And let's hope we're finished with snow removal.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
It's been a big part of their last couple of months.
Yep. Okay. And then finance, we don't have a meeting scheduled.
No.
No, we need to, though. We've gotten some more information on our state funding, so.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
We set up the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, you know, when you're available, because I'm usually.
All right.
When Lewis is available.
I would just share in regards to finance, you know, House Bill 110, Senate Bill 110, and the budget. We have to keep our eye on that as a district, which I know Steph is daily. There's a growing fear that the Fair School funding plan is going to be 2 years and done. And we're going to have to be really strong as a board and as a group of educators, and the education family in Ohio is going to have to be heard again if we want this to continue. So I just know that there's some new growing concern that it was put into place just to make some people happy, but the overall belief is that they never intended it to put it in there permanently. So we have some work to do.
Yeah, usually when they change a funding formula, it becomes law when they do it, and this one wasn't. It was just a temporary.
So when should we be trying to do something or getting involved?
I think any contact right now with our representatives is good. I mean, there'll be a D-Day. I would imagine next year where votes are on the horizon. But I do know it was signed this year by Governor DeWine because it was bipartisan, and he had an appreciation for Republicans and Democrats to sit down at the table and get this done. And he felt great about that. And his way of saying thank you was, I'll sign this. But at the same time, I'm hearing that he's going to have much more of a say. The next governor, whoever that is going to have much more of a say. And it's not going to be, thank you for your hard work, where do I sign? It's going to be a good hard look at what he thinks or she thinks is good for Ohio. And I don't know if there are any female candidates running or not. And is that an election year this year, this November?
Yes,
it is.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just about the time you get over one, there's another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. Item five, can I have a motion to move into executive session?
For the purpose of?
Yep, the purpose of discussing employment of personnel.
Did you second?
please call the roll.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0. We are now out of executive session. Can I please have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
We are adjourned.